with George Norrie, call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
It sure is, and with you, your phone calls. By the way, at the end of this program, something for you to laugh your way into the weekend. Some of you know what I'm going to do. The rest of you do not. As a matter of fact, I've just got one email in from Sandy in Phoenix. Hi, Sandy. Thanks for the compliment, by the way. And she's just going through a situation. She said, I need all the laughs I can get. So you make sure, Sandy, you hear the end of this program tonight, because this will take you not only into the weekend chuckling, but probably into the next few months chuckling indeed. Back with your calls. We'll get this hour going on Coast to Coast AM. Time for your calls, and by the way, some of you can solve a little dispute going on here in the old studio with the producer, Tom. What is the first name? Fast blast me. What is the first name of Mrs. Doubtfire? Because we have been going at this for 3 days, and he hasn't checked, and we haven't found it. I'm not going to tell you her name, because I know I'm right, and he is calling her something else. So we'll put an end to this once and for all. And by the way, I will publicly tell everybody that Tom boasts to be one of the world's greatest pool players. And he is shaking his head now. So he came up to me, and I haven't played pool in 10 years. 10 years I haven't had a stick in my hand. And he says, you know what? He says, we're going to go out here this Saturday. We're going to kill a couple hours. And I said, well, okay, I'm busy. It's, you know, it's my seat. He says, no, you got to do this. So he takes me to some place in Burbank, California. Wonderful place. And everybody knows him. And I'm going, this is not good. And, you know, we do a little side bet, a little wager. I, by the way, have the 8 in my wallet. He does not. And we end up playing 11 games of pool. 11 games of pool. I beat him. Now, this is the old guy who hasn't played in 10 years. I beat him 10 games. The last game, I beat him. I swear to God. We're playing 8-ball. I gave him an advantage. I took every one of his balls except one and put it in the pocket. He had one ball to get, and then the 8-ball, and he'd win. I still had all mine. I still beat him on that game. Great guy, worst pool player I've ever seen. To the phones we go, east of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
Gosh, it's good to talk to you. Thanks for taking my call.
You too. Where are you calling from?
Wagner, South Dakota.
South Dakota. I've never been to South Dakota.
It's not too bad.
No. How'd you end up there?
Well, I actually came back. I was born here, but lived out in Oregon for many years and came back here to go back to school. And, well, I haven't really done that yet.
Oh, you remember the old saying, you can never go back home? Do you believe that?
I don't know.
Somebody, whoever came up with that saying, obviously, had bad luck.
I think so.
Yeah, what's on your mind? What's up?
Well, I had a Ouija board story that I wanted to tell you. I don't like Ouija boards, but in high school, you know, we were dumb kids, so there was like about a group of 10 of us that used to hang out, and a bunch of other people would, you know, come and hang out too. So these two girls that I went to school with were really starting to get into it, and as a joke, you know, we'd been drinking one night, and we were trying to get them off to quit playing it. And so we figured, let's go to the cemetery in town, and maybe that'll scare the, you know, scare the bejesus out of them or whatever. And we all took off, and of course we'd been drinking. That was stupid. And they were really into it. So we, about 20 of us went out to the cemetery, and everyone was just too freaked out, and they were getting mad at us because we weren't being quiet. You know, we're trying to joke around, and one of our friends, Rusty, he says, let's go to that park across town. He says, that used to be the cemetery. Oh, yeah, that's right. You know, when 1800s, when Pendleton was first founded, the cemetery was there, but they'd moved everything over with the exception of maybe two or three graves. And so we all piled in the cars again, went across town, and my friends were sitting there, and they were putting their hands on the board, and the little planchette thing started moving really, really fast. And so everyone kind of got quiet at that point because it didn't do anything at the other cemetery. And they were like, you know, it was going faster and faster. It just stopped. And then it started to spell W-A-T-E-R. And then it would just spell it faster, 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 the word water. And then it stopped. And we all just kind of stood there for a second, looked at each other, and the sprinklers came on.
I love it.
And we screamed and we ran. And but we did manage to get them off that damn board because they were just starting to play with it by themselves. And, you know, we didn't know what was going on. They wouldn't come out of their apartment for days. So about five of us had went over to their place, and we all took that board. We took it to the car and locked it up, and we stayed at their apartment and made them go to sleep. And it was like an intervention. We weren't going to let them use that board. So we stayed up all night and, like, played cards. They slept. Nobody, you know, they didn't get a chance to get it, in other words. We just stopped them from using it because we were going to take them to a priest to have it burned.
That would have been interesting.
You know, the thing was, when in the morning, my friends, Chrissy and Luana, were you know, they came out of the bedroom, and Chrissy went to her room, and she says, "You guys," she says, "that wasn't very funny. Why did you do that?" And my room is freezing. She says, "My window was open." We said, "What are you talking about, Chrissy? We didn't go anywhere. We're right here." She says, "That board is in the bedroom, the game, everything." She says, "It's in there, and the window's open." She thought we played a joke on her.
Yeah.
None of us had went to go get it. That was freaky. And we just finally called the priest and said, "You need to come over here and get this thing." None of us
did. Did he come and get it?
He did. He did. He came and got it. And when he burned it, I wasn't there. My mom was mad that we'd even touched the darn thing, you know, that I did. But from what they were telling me, that thing was screaming when he burned it.
You mean it was making like a sizzle sound?
I don't know if it was. You know, I wasn't there, but that was just the weirdest thing.
That is weird. Hey, thanks for the call.
Yep, thanks, George.
Okay, by the way.
Bye.
So not only has Tom lost 10 out of 11 pool games, he's also lost this bet on the name of Mrs. Doubtfire, who is Euphigenia Doubtfire. And I was absolutely correct. It's spelled Euphigenia. He thought it was just an F, that it standard with an F. And you remember Robin Williams. He was so good in that part. Euphigenia Doubtfire, dear. Euphigenia. Just like that. Not pretty close, by the way. So he loses another. Let's go to our lucky line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George. I'll start off with this.
All right. There you are.
All of us 4 million drivers out here just love you.
Boy, you could be the spitting voice image of John Wayne.
Well, this is Craig. I grew up in Michigan, live in Milton, Wisconsin now. And I got a little quick story. I missed your show last night. Left out of San Diego and was coming up through Las Vegas.
Yeah, we're all over. Just say one thing for me like Wayne would, like something like, "How you doing, partners?"
How you doing, partners?
Well, what's the vote? They say no. Oh, well, what do I know? Go ahead.
Well, I was coming through Vegas. I figured I had a couple hours to kill and walked into the casino and just put on a hat that I happened to buy before Daytona 500. We had a little get-together.
Yeah.
My wife's a big junior fan. And, well, when number 88, said he was going to race the brown truck. I decided I'd run out and buy his hat and wear it for the Daytona.
Sure.
So I did. Well, last night when I got into Vegas, I just coincidentally put that hat on and walked inside, and it didn't matter what machine I touched, I couldn't lose.
I love it.
I wasn't there 2 hours and won well over $3,000 and walked out.
Are you kidding? That's amazing.
Everyone was coming around and just watching me because it didn't matter which machine I touched, it was just hitting. And here I am with the little UPS hat on with the 88 on the back of it.
See? It works.
So today when I heard your show tonight, it's like, well, maybe I had something with an 8 in my wallet. And I'm looking around in the truck here, and all of a sudden, I see the hat.
Yeah. It dawns on you. That's something. That's a great story.
Well, we love you out here, and keep up the good work.
All right, you drive carefully.
Thanks.
By the way, next, I think, this whole week, Vegas is a zoo with NASCAR, if you're into that. I mean, it is absolutely going to be huge. First-time caller line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George, how's it going?
Good. It's going great.
Hey, I wanted to tell a quick story real quick. My uncle lives out in Gorman, California, off of Highway 138, which is a pretty desolate area out there.
Where is that? I'm still getting to know the place.
You know where Castaic is? Gorman? Lancaster?
Is that north?
No, it's pretty much east of Los Angeles, probably about maybe 100 miles. By Tehachapi, Mojave, California.
But northeast?
Yeah.
No, okay.
Just directly east of Los
directly?
Angeles.
Okay. No, I'm not familiar with that area.
Well, it's pretty desolate out there. There's not much growth out there, I mean, for houses-wise. And they got these this big mountain pass called El Tajon Pass, I believe it is.
Okay.
Well, my uncle lived out there for about 10 years, and he swore that there was planes flying in and out of that mountain all the time. And the rest of the family, we were just like, okay, you've been living out in the desert too long, just joking around with him, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, what's he been drinking, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and there was a cement plant out there, and they had a gate guard for the cement plant, which was pretty much on the about 20 miles north of his house. And his nearest neighbor is probably about 10 miles down the road. So we had a family reunion at his house 1 year, and it's getting about dusk time, and all of a sudden, a C-130... the military one that was green flew right over the top of the house where I could see the pilot, where you could throw a rock up and hit the belly of the plane.
That's pretty low.
And it goes right back into the valley of that mountain, and you could hear it, you know, landing back there somewhere.
So back in that section of that mountain, there's a runway somewhere.
Exactly. And you can't get to it because the California Aqueduct runs along that mountain, and there's no way for you to cross it with a vehicle or a dirt bike.
So the only way you can get in there is to fly into it.
Exactly. And so we were just, like, amazed, like, wow, that was just totally, like, astonishing. Like, man, my goodness, my whole family's out there, and we're just like, there is a base back there. So 3 years down the road later, I'm in the grocery store shopping with my mother, and I'm looking at the magazine racks, and I see this magazine called UFO Sightings or something like that. And I figured, you know, some of that stuff is hoopla in there, and some of it's real. I open up the magazine and start flipping through some of the pages, and it says, Secret Installation Base, Tehachapi, California, El Tajon Pass. And it has an aerial photograph of that base. And it just, like, my jaw dropped. I was like, oh, my goodness, there is a base there. I wonder what they do there.
I wonder if they've had any aliens land there.
I have no idea. He just said, just, you know, sometimes at night he'll hear big jets, you know, coming out of there. And it was just funny that I just seen that UFO sightings magazine. And I forget what the article was because it was about 10 years ago. I was in high school. And it just said, you know, just showed a picture of that, an aerial photo of that base. And I showed it to my mom, and my mom was like, wow. And she may have the magazine still, but it was just pretty astonishing that there was a base there that nobody knows about.
Isn't it weird how things like that pop up, by the way? You're thinking about something, and then you end up seeing it, reading about it, run into somebody who can tell you about it.
Exactly.
It is strange. All right, thanks for the call.
All right, thank you, George.
I wonder what's going on the other side of those mountains. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey.
Hi.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's you.
Oh, you all, I get lucky. This is the first time I ever tried to call.
You made it.
Yeah. Lucky, the lucky story.
Lucky time. Where are you, by the way?
Oh, Janine.
And you are in what city, Janine?
Port Huron.
Oh, it's in Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan. Yep.
What's on your mind?
When I was little, my mom was on the phone, and, well, this is my earliest childhood memory. I don't...
How old were you?
I don't know.
Do you remember?
I don't know. Probably... I was in diapers, but I remember it because I got tired of waiting for my mom to get off the phone with my grandma. So I took her keys and I stuck it in an electrical socket, you know?
I didn't hear that.
I thought it was a car.
You took a key, put it in the electric. You thought it was a car?
Yeah. So.
Did you get zapped?
You know what? All the lights went out. And then we were, like, in total darkness, and my mom was calling my name, and I was afraid to kind of, you know.
You're lucky your lights didn't
go out. Same thing.
You blew a fuse, and you know what? You're lucky it went. You would have been a goner.
I know. Well, and all I can remember is when she was hugging me and stuff, after she got through whatever, you know, she said, you're lucky that, she did say that. You're lucky that your diaper wasn't wet. So I must have been a baby. No, I'm not a baby.
You must have. Well, I'm glad you're alive. My daughter, one of them, I have two, when she was a tiny little toddler, did the same thing. She took our keys from the top of the counter. All of a sudden, all the lights went out. I heard at the same time, bam, big crackle sound. And I went, what the heck was that? I walk into the living room. And there is this little kid, maybe about a foot and a half tall, standing there with a key in the light socket. It's all burnt, crispy, and she's okay. And it must have been a miracle, absolute miracle. And, you know, as a parent, the first thing you want to do when a kid does something like that, you want to spank them. Well, I didn't do that. But why do we do that, by the way? We get so angry, we want to spank a kid for something like that when they could have died. And I'm telling you, right after that, and she was our second kid. We never had problems with our first like that. Right after that, we went and got those little wall socket things, and I put them in every plug through the entire house. And, I mean, never again. Then I went and got these latches for the cabinets and things like that. I mean, I went overboard doing things like that. But you know what? With kids, you have to do that because they get into everything. But to this day, and her name's Christy, she has very strange intuitive powers. And I've always wondered if it was because of this electrical burst or charge that she might have had. Lucky Line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there.
Yes, sir.
Pat calling from, Elantra, truck driver.
Where is this place, Elantra?
It's out on Highway 395.
What state?
California.
Oh, okay.
Got to tell you about this number 8 thing.
What happened to you?
Well, since I put the number 8 in my wallet, I've hit over $20,000 in jackpots.
You got to be kidding me.
No, I've hit. It's incredible. In Tonopah alone, Tonopah, Nevada, one quarter machine that I play... it's poker machine. I've hit the Royal Flush on it 7 times.
Before you put the 8 in your wallet or wherever you have it?
This is after I put the 8 in my wallet.
But before that, nothing?
Nothing. Yeah. I was up in Reno a couple of weeks ago, and I was just playing on a nickel machine. I hit $800 in nickels. And when I went to the rewards desk there, it turns out that the lucky card number of the day was number 8.
I love it.
Incredible.
I mean, she's done it. Thanks for the story. I'm also beginning to wonder if we've got the power of suggestion. When we, as, again, masses get together, and when Glynis tells us 8 will do this for us, I wonder if we've all collectively have made this number work for all of us. I cannot tell you the amount of stories that I've gotten over the last several weeks since she was on, success stories about number 8. Now, I've gotten a few from people who have had bad financial things happen to them with number 8. And, of course, as Glenn has said, you got to believe. So some of them went into it in a negative way. And when you do that, it just isn't going to happen. I'll be back in a moment. We'll wrap up the half hour with the rest of your calls, and then right at the end of the show, I guarantee you, you're going to laugh like you've never laughed before.
Call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Okay, don't forget, it'll be Art Bell this weekend. And then Monday, our guest will be Jonathan Zapp. We're going to be talking about prophecy and end times. It's always good to talk with different people about their own theories. Jonathan has his. And then we're going to be talking with a very successful entrepreneur, Andre Iglesias. He'll share some insight about the privately owned banking cartel known to us as the Federal Reserve System. Now, if you think we're going to be just talking about a boring evening of financial matters, you've got another thing coming. We're going to be talking about the control of the Federal Reserve and how they do what they do, and more importantly, how it really will affect you, your kids, your family in the future. And let me tell you something. When you think about a one-world government, think about banking, because something's going on. We're going to talk with Andre about that. Wednesday, Dr. Helen Morrison, our guest. We're going to be talking about serial killers. Of course, with the situation in Wichita and so many other horrible situations around this planet with serial killers, she has profiled more than 80 serial killers over a 25-year span. So we're going to be talking with her about that. Also, our guest for a moment that night will be Amanda Swinson. And Amanda is an actress in Hollywood. She's been on American Wedding and some programs like that. She is very interested in serial killers. She now writes a column in the United Kingdom for Maxim magazine on serial killers. Her interest perked when she started getting fan mail from a serial killer who's in prison right now. She continues to get about 2 letters a week from this individual. So we're going to be talking with her a little bit about that as well. Thursday, it's about time we go out of our body. So we're going to be talking about Adventures Beyond the Body with William Buhlman right here on Coast to Coast AM.
Thank you.
And welcome back to Coast. It'll be our final segment right now. Let's go to your phone calls. And don't forget, right at the end of the program, sit back, relax, laugh. If you're driving a car or truck, don't laugh too hard. You'll fall and run off the side of the road. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to say there was something that happened to me about 17 years ago. I went to church. I started going back to church.
Yeah.
And as Catholics, we're taught that the Holy Eucharist is the actual body of Christ.
Which is the host.
Which is the host, yeah. And it's kind of like hard to comprehend that. So while I was at Mass, I asked God to show me some sort of sign to let me know that it was for real. And in the church, there's a life-size statue of Christ behind the altar. And he's suspended up on the wall.
On the cross, right?
No, he's not on the cross.
Well, not in this church, all right.
It's a resurrection Christ. His arms are extended up in the air. And whenever I said that request, one of the arms fell and landed and hit the back of the wall.
You mean it broke off?
It didn't break off. It just like his arm came down and hit the back of the wall. And tilted the whole statue.
Oh, my gosh.
And it made such a loud boom in the church that everybody just kind of freaked out, even the priest. He turned around and he looked, and he saw this statue just tilted. And it really scared me. I was freaking out.
I would guess so.
So after that, I said, thank you, Lord. That's the sign I needed. So after Mass, I went up to Father, and I told him what had happened, and he just kind of looked at me kind of strange.
Yeah, and said, please, don't do that again, right?
But that's just one of the many things that have happened to me, but I'll tell you those later.
All right, thanks for the call.
Sure.
Appreciate that. Strange things do happen like that, don't they? East of the Rockies, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Where are you?
I am calling out of the Nashville area.
Okay.
I was talking to your producer, and I'm going to ask you the same thing. Please don't hang up. This is going to sound kind of crazy, but I'm from 2036.
I will not hang up. You're not John Teeter, are you?
No, the name I'm giving you is Tom. I'm not going to give my real name.
Your 2036 name.
Right, right.
All right, now you got to tell me a little bit about this. What are you doing back here?
My dad's going to die April 15th of this year, and I work for the government in 2036, so I had an opportunity by knowing someone to actually come back, and he died when I was he died when I was 5 years old, and got an opportunity to come back and see him a little bit and stuff before
does,
he actually goes.
Does he know who you are?
Kinda. He doesn't believe me, but he does believe me because of the resemblance that I do carry from myself.
You've got to tell me how you came back, first of all, and then what you said to him when you did come back. But first of all, can you explain the technology that got you back here?
Not really, because I'm not a genius on that part. I'm just a guy that pushes buttons.
Is it a machine?
Yeah, it's a machine in a vehicle. That way my vehicle can be mobile, so nobody can grab it.
You have it hidden away somewhere, I take it?
In a garage.
Does it look like a car?
Pretty much, like a dune buggy type of car.
It's like I don't know if you ever saw the movie Back to the Future, did you?
No.
Oh, all right. They've got a DeLorean. They use that as a car, as a time machine.
Now, this is a dune buggy surrounded in titanium metal. And
you set the gauges and stuff for the year you want to end up, or how does that work?
I didn't set the gauges. It was set by the designers of the vehicle.
When do you go back?
Tomorrow.
Oh, you will go back tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. I've actually tried calling you for the last couple of weeks. This is my dad's favorite station.
Said, though, that your dad's going to pass on April 15th?
Right. He doesn't even know it right now.
Oh, my God. How does he die?
Cancer. He gets at work. He gets hit with a steel bar in the back of his neck, which cracks his neck. And he doesn't know that he even has cancer right now.
And
once he cracks his neck, it spreads viciously through his body.
Oh, my.
In 2 weeks. They wouldn't let me come back any time earlier for fear that I might try to stop and, you know, get them treatment.
It's tempting to stop this, isn't it?
It is, but you can't mess with it. You can't. You got to let fate lay as it is.
Are there a lot of time travelers that have come back to these kinds of time periods?
I believe so. I've heard I've heard of a few. I don't know any directly.
What was your occupation in 2036? What did you do?
I am in the Marine Corps.
Well, I spent 9 years Navy, so I can understand and appreciate that.
Okay.
And this was your request to come back?
Right, because I never knew my dad, and I started having some psychological problems, and some things have been missing. My mom abandoned us. My older brother raised me from the time after my dad died, because I got an older half-brother from a previous marriage from my dad.
In the year 2036, is it well known that time travel is available?
Yeah, pretty much, I guess. A lot of people know about it, I'm sure of it.
Do you go to a time travel store, or?
No. You gotta know someone.
Okay, so it's not readily available to everybody.
No, not everybody can actually come back. In fact, the phone I'm on right now is bought in this time, and its earpiece is horrible. I have actually a built-in earpiece in my ear for my phone in 2036, which does not work for these phones.
What can you tell us about the year 2036? I mean, did we have any major wars along the line? What happened?
Nothing major. The reason why I'm actually calling is because I've listened to your show for the last 3 weeks with my dad. And he's just amazed that I'm actually back in 2036. He asked me questions, you know, what's he doing? What am I doing now? And it just hurts so bad that I can't tell him.
You can't
tell
him. He's not listening to the show right now, is he?
No.
Okay.
No, he's in bed. I've actually tried calling a few times, and I wasn't sure, and I've actually had to trade out phones because I wasn't sure if I'm bugged from 2036, and every time I got through, and then mysteriously I got disconnected.
When you first saw your father, when you went back, what was it mm-hmm. like for you?
I cried. I followed him around basically for a couple of weeks. Not really a couple of weeks, a couple of days.
Before you introduced yourself to him?
He looked at, do I know you? that type of thing. I'm 35 now.
Yeah.
I was born November 11th, 2000.
Now, now that you're back here, where is the you from 2005?
I'm running around right now I'm in bed, but normally time I'm running around playing hell on my dad. Can I say that in this time?
Well, you can get by with that word, sure.
Okay.
Have you talked to yourself?
Yeah. I'm just a friend to myself. And it's, you know what's really, really weird is instant memories that you get from when you're, 4 years old,
yeah,
on 5 years old. And when you meet somebody, and then you know now who you are, but you didn't know when you were a kid, and it just comes flowing into your head from two different views, from a little kid looking at a guy that's just a family friend, and now older, looking at myself.
There must be something to see yourself.
Recognizing who I am now, but not knowing who I am then. It's the memory flows are really weird.
As a Marine in 2036, did you see any action?
No.
Well, maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, well, I've got some answers for you, actually. The reason why I'm calling is because I've listened to your show in probably two big topics, and I've heard a couple people ask me about Iraq in 2036 and what goes on over there, and I got some answers that I just wanted to share with you.
What happens?
And I don't know how direct I can be, and I do have answers for a lot of other things, some things I can't talk about. I can't make you rich. I can't prevent people from dying. That's just that calls for immediate termination of my life.
You can't give us lottery numbers.
I wouldn't know lottery numbers if you asked. I'd have to bring the information. I'd have to go in the archive, look them up, and bring them back with me. So, a lot of things that I do know, I only know from, growing up and stuff. And I know y'all talk about I heard you talk about chemtrails.
Chemtrails, yes, absolutely.
They're real. Chemtrails are real, and there's a purpose for chemtrails.
What are they, though? I think it's either weather manipulation or they're trying to dumb us down with something.
It's weather manipulation. And the best example I can give you is open up the first page of the Bible, and it talks about Genesis.
Yep.
And in this time, which is really neat, I get to see the beginning of the Genesis that they're practicing here for Mars.
So we get through 2012 in pretty good shape, huh?
Yeah. You know, I mean, it depends what you consider pretty good shape. I consider it pretty good shape. And we are attempting Genesis on Mars, and we're testing chemtrails here.
Do we still have weird weather situations along the line?
We have always. Yeah, we're always going to have weird weather, I guess. I'm a little nervous right now.
Well, but you're going back tomorrow.
I have to go back tomorrow. I have to. There's no choice.
And you will not come back again?
I don't know. Only the future can hold that decision.
Well, let's see.
UFOs you guys have talked about, too.
Are they real?
They're actually so real. In your time, I believe, we've actually laughed about this in our time. You have a law. Well, we have a law, but when I say you, I mean your time. On the federal books right now that states that it's against the law for any citizen to talk to extraterrestrials. Why is that? There's your answer.
That's a bizarre law.
It's on the federal books right now. You can look it up. I believe it's still enacting right now in this time, but we'd laugh about it because they would, you know, you all would talk about UFOs. Are they real? There's many different cultures of extraterrestrials. There's people that look like us, that we are from. And then there's people that don't look like us. There's people that are really tiny. There's tall. There's little. It's a big mixture. And people do get picked up by UFOs, and they are used to help repopulate using pregnancies and semen from males.
I want you to do me a favor.
And I also got one other thing. We are still in Iraq in year 2036.
Well, I have a feeling we're going to be there for a long time.
They will not let us leave. They don't want us to leave.
I'm going to be 86 in 2036.
85.
If I'm still alive, I want you to come find me and tell me you're the guy who talked to me on Coast to Coast. Would you do that for me?
Yeah, how do I get, I need a...
Well, I don't know where I'm going to be when I'm 86, but I mean, you got to find me.
Could your producer, after I get done talking to you, give me some info about you so I can know where at least to start?
All you got to do is keep monitoring this program somehow. I'm sure into the future, all you got to do is go on Google and just track me down.
Google?
Yeah. You know what Google is?
No, I don't know what a Google is.
It's a search engine on computers. You still have computers, don't you?
Oh, man, our computers are the size of our walls, our TVs, our telephones, our TVs, our shopping, and everything is done right out of it. Everything's done out of one location.
Well, you have a safe trip into the future, and again, our condolences about the impending passing of your father. You might as well listen to this like so many other people. This is someone who was on his way to work. He was late. He called his boss. This is the message he left on the answering machine. Enjoy.
Hey, Mark, excuse me. I'm on my way to 3768. Kind of got hung up. It's raining out here. I'm on my way into Dallas. Jerry's probably going to be calling you to find out where I'm at if he can't get a hold of me, I'm sure. So thought, whoa. Man, I just had a wreck right in front of me. This guy ran a red light and hit four old ladies in an Impala. Just kind of clipped them, turned them around right in front of me, man. That was close. Oh, now this guy's getting out of his car. He's got a white shirt on with a tie and a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. He's throwing his hands up in the air like it was their fault. Hold on. He's going over to their window. She's rolling down the window. Oh, man, I think she sprayed him with pepper spray, man. He's holding his face, and he's on his knee. She's beating him with an umbrella. The other women are getting out, too. There's one woman with a little black person. She's tomahawking him, man. She looks like a Sunbelt 20-horsepower jackhammer. Blah, blah, blah. We got another woman She's hitting him like he's got a cattle prod, man. She's got an umbrella and she's sticking it in his side. Oh, there's another one. It's a little woman. Looks like Mother Goose. She's beating him. She's got this U-bit bag. She's got this U-bit bag. It's huge. It's about the size of her. She's about 4 foot nothing. She hit him over the head. Everything went all over the place. Her Bible fell. She just hit him in the head with a Bible. She picked this Bible up and she lifted it way over her head. It was a hardback NVI version. Oh, they're still beating the out of this guy. She picked his Bible up and raised it up above her head and just beamed the guy. This guy's not getting up. They're still hitting him. The one with the little black person still. Oh, pieces of okay, he's up on the car. The little woman's just beating him again with that big bag. He's running to his car. He's out of here. The little bitty mother goose woman. She's talking to him as he's driving off. I wish you would have been here, man. This is too good.
I hope you have a great weekend. For Karis Coburn, Dan Galante, Steve Card, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll do this all again on Monday. Art Bell this weekend. Until then, have a great weekend. Be safe, everyone.